since this became a national story on the Trayvon Martin murder case. He's back with us this morning. Please welcome to the show, Reverend Al Sharpton.
Reverend Al,
good morning.
Thank you for coming. Thank you.
Reverend, how you doing today, sir?
I'm feeling a lot better than I did yesterday.
Well, tell us about it. You know, you've been on television about this whole thing and the national press conference yesterday. What are your feelings on it? What were your thoughts when you heard the charges?
Well, I frankly was surprised. I was hoping that the special prosecutor would prosecute. I had told the family that we should probably not accept anything less than manslaughter. And when she said that she was charging with second-degree murder, I was frankly surprised because now he faces life in jail is the maximum. So it says to me that not only were we right to raise this to the level of national attention with the protest and the other things that made them look at this again, it also says to me there may be evidence that we don't even know about yet that she uncovered that makes her feel strongly enough to feel she can get a second-degree murder conviction. And I think several lessons in this. One, I think that we as a community, as a national community, should learn that you cannot just let things go. And had this family not pursued lawyers and the lawyers pursued some national activism, this was over with. You must remember the police chief in Sanford, Florida, held a press conference and said there's no probable cause, there will not be an arrest. They closed the book on this. The only thing that reopened it was the work of these attorneys, and then when they reached out and got those of us involved in the civil rights movement to come in and march. Otherwise, this would never have been raised as an issue. Once we raised it, the very day of the rally we had in Sanford, when we brought out 30,000 that you helped us PR, that's when the governor said, I'll give a special prosecutor, which led us to this. So a lot of people that think activism don't work, this is an example of this would have been another guy gone with no charge had that not been activism. Now, the key now is where do we go from here? We've got to win the trial. We've got to deal with the stand your ground law. But at least we're in the ball game to do that. But now we've got to finish the game.
Okay, now, Reverend, let me ask you something, because I heard Trayvon's father speaking, man, is such a great... And then, first of all, the family is so dignified in this whole thing. I just don't even know how they can be this dignified in this whole thing. You haven't heard the outrageous outburst, which would have been understandable in the death of your child. But they've held it together. I heard you on the national press conference yesterday that you were pleading with supporters to remain peaceful and not tarnish Trayvon's name with violence. What are the protesters in for now? I mean, is the marching over? Is it going to continue? If it continues, what's the marching for? What's the plan of action from now?
Well, no, the marching is not over because you still have the hearing with a judge that has to rule that he's based on stand your ground, he's not dismissing the charges. That's the first hurdle. We will not know when that hearing is for a minute, but we certainly will inform everyone. And then you're going to have to deal with the trial itself. So we expect to be vigilant. We expect to have rallies. But the reason that we emphasize that we don't want any violence or any violent language, this is the wishes first of the family. They do not want their son's name connected with that, because that's exactly what Zimmerman and them need, is to say, see, he is of violence, he represents violence, therefore it was logical for us to think he was doing something wrong that night. It would in fact be convicting, they would be tarnishing the memory and name of Trayvon that could be used to stop a conviction in court if we feel that this man is guilty. And secondly, because it achieves nothing. We want to force this system to work fairly. We don't want to say that we're going to take matters in our own hand, because then that means we got to take it in our hand every time. Why are we citizens? Why do we fight wars? Why do we pay taxes if the system doesn't work for us? So we don't want to prove what we can do. We want to prove what we can make them do, what they do for everybody else.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, Reverend, I tell you, man, your presence down here has definitely made a difference, regardless as to what Fox News says. Man, I was watching Sean Hannity yesterday. Them guys, man, I've never seen people more committed to self in my life. How can you do a story on Trayvon Martin and never once mention the fact that a child was murdered on his way from the store? That's not even an issue with Sean Hannity. He claims that he wants to get to the bottom of the truth, and that's why he wants to hear George Zimmerman's side, but George Zimmerman is only going to say so much. And he was so pro the Zimmerman rights last night, man. This guy right here. So keep up the good work, man, because you are creating an effective change. You're bringing it to light as you've done on so many other issues.
Yeah, and thank you.
Well, thank you. And thank you for your continued support and letting us get on the airwaves and let the country know what's going on. We really appreciate it, Steve.
Well, sir, we appreciate you, man. Continued success, and we'll be calling you back so you can keep us posted and let us know what we need to do.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Oh my goodness.
We need more people like him,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, front line all the time.
Hey, man, all I can tell you is Reverend Al's mom passed the night before he was to do the Trayvon Martin march. Mm-hmm. He still went. That's all I can tell you. That
about
ain't grandstanding.
Yeah.
That's a real commitment to caring.
Oh, yes.
And he said his mother would have wanted him
to do that.
You know, man, that right. You see, you say what you want to say.
Yeah.
But I done lost my mama. And I'm telling you, man, it ain't nothing you can't flush that one under the rug. That's mama, dog. That ain't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Come
worst
on now.
Worst day in the world, huh?
Lady stay across the street. Nah, man. Yeah. That's the worst day I've ever had on this earth right here. That was the worst week. So we good. It's 37 minutes after. What time is it?
38. You're right. 38.
I'm in D.C., and I just wanted to come on this morning to bring it light. Do we have any calls? Do y'all have a comment? Crew? Tommy, Shirley, Carla?
No, I'm just, you know, we mentioned relief earlier, Steve.
I am
relieved. I know there's a lot more work ahead.
Right.
But I am relieved that they have taken this step and finally arrested this guy. You know, I mean, after all this time. For a moment there, I didn't think it was going to happen. I have to be perfectly honest with you.
But when you have people like Reverend Al Sharpton who keep pushing, you get a result, man.
Yeah.
And you have to give kudos to the special prosecution and her office and her team of investigators who worked day in and day out. And for them to come to the agreement and for her to say second-degree murder charges,
I was
surprised at that.
Yeah.
I said, wow, she threw the book at George Zimmerman.
Right.
And
I'm sorry.
I was just shocked and pleased at the same time.
I was not expecting them to have him in custody, though. That one threw me for a loop.
Well, when you file the charges, she issued a warrant for his arrest.
Yeah, but I thought he was gone. I thought he was at least away from Florida.
Oh no,
Tommy.
I see what you're saying.
The FBI got an eyeball on this cat right here. See, once you bring in the FBI, you're not going to embarrass them when he escaped. He slipped through the dragnet. They don't like that type of conversation, not with the FBI. This is the Federal Bureau of Investigations. See, once they get brought in, you ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, they find you when you don't want to be found.
Brother, they can find you. Right. And so they knew exactly where he was the whole time. Now, for safety purposes, they couldn't reveal that. So this guy had to go. I did breathe a sigh of relief when it was done. I didn't see how they could not bring charges. You know, I was concerned that they wouldn't, but I really just did not see how. Because just as layman people, as we watch this is a no-brainer for us. The what took so long was disturbing, but at least it was done. And so I do breathe a sigh of relief in the fact that they did make the arrest.
Yeah.
And now the process can begin.
Yeah, and thank God for his parents, too, that wouldn't let it die and that kept, you know, going and putting the word out there and having their attorney contact Reverend Al and all of this. They wanted justice for the murder of their son. And I applaud them for hanging in there. You know,
The police department's explanation wasn't good enough.
Right.
Absolutely. No. Absolutely, crew. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Great. I mean, that's a great observation because it was them. And the mother and father's dignity in this whole thing.
Yeah.
It's almost like, wow, it sets you back.
Mm-hmm.
They have not been one outburst, which would have been understood.
Right. And you know
Come
what,
on,
Steve?
Man.
Yeah, it really made me feel, wow, what if that were my son? What if that were my son?
Right.
You know, that's the feeling I got from them. You know, the fact that they stayed in it so long and everything. It was amazing. And they were right when they first started it. They said, Trayvon, our son is your son.
These are our children.
Mm-hmm. And this grown man killed their child.
But I think about every time Miss Ann plays that recording, man, it just runs chills through me.
You hear those cries for help and that gunshot, your heart is just
Anderson broken. Cooper last night on 360 did a play-by-play, all the timelines from the first call that came in, George Zimmerman's call.
That.
He did an abbreviated version. From 7:12 to 7, when the phone call went in, I think it was 7:12. Something like that. I may be a little bit off. Yeah, sure. But 7:19, the police responded rather quickly. You know, I mean, you can't fault the police department for not getting, you know, if they're 5 to 7 minutes response time, that's pretty good. In the hood, it ain't that. It ain't no five.
No,
you were so right. You were so right.
No, that ain't it. That's where I grew up. So I was looking at the time. You can't fault them. And they got there, and they
even
arrested
more reason
him.
George Zimmerman should have done what 911 said, because the police was there.
Yeah.
They came
stand
quickly.
Down.
Right. Stand down.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me ask you something. We're going to talk to Reverend Jamal Bryant this morning, everybody, just to let you know. He was the man that I thought spoke so eloquently on behalf of the family. I was really, really proud of his speech, man. This guy on point. I've known him for a little while now, and I can't say we friends, but we real cool with each other. Right. We're not friends. We don't talk all the time. I got his number. I can call him if I need something. He's always been there. And he has a church in Baltimore. I think it's Baltimore. And I think that this dude, I've heard some speeches of his that have been outstanding, but the way he spoke on behalf of the family was just outstanding. We're going to have him this morning. And when we come back, we'll take calls. I think we're going to have Jamal Bryant at the top of the hour.
Okay.
Yeah, coming up.
Mm-hmm.
About 15 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so right now we're going to take some calls from you all. Keep your comments to within 30 seconds, and we'll take as many calls as we can when we come back. This is the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You feel me?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.